Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Grace View, a discussion forum of life-enriching topics that pertain to family, men, philosophical perspectives, women, and singles. The Grace View is a production of John Davis Marshall and the Solomon Society. The Grace View may be heard live Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by dialing 347-989-0722. Or it can be heard anytime online at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Grace View. Now, stay tuned for today's episode of Manage Masculinity. If you have a question or comment, please dial the number 1 on your phone, and we will give you the opportunity to speak.
Good evening, everyone, and I would like to welcome you to this edition of Grace View, Manage Masculinity, as we're focusing our third time on how successful people think. I encourage you that if you have any questions or comments, to just dial 1 on your phone, and we'll get you on the air. Typically, we've talked about different philosophies around thinking, and we've had 2 major focus points about the tools that you utilize when you do successful thinking. The first one we talked about was telescope. If you use a telescopic thinking, we also talked about your next toolkit if you use your binoculars. And tonight, we're going to talk about using a microscope, and we're going to focus on 3 different areas of thinking that will help you for us formulating ideas in your daily life. I encourage everyone who is listening to pay diligent attention to the influences that you have surrounding your day-to-day, particularly when it pertains to those quiet times, whether it's driving in your car or if you're early in the morning. That information that you receive, whether you're focused on it or not, does impact you subconsciously. And some of the things we're going to talk about now will deal exactly about those subconscious thoughts and the thought pattern, how we work around rectifying some bad thinking habits and create better thinking habits. Another thing I would like for you to note, that this doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's important for us to partner with others who are great thinkers. And you think of someone who is a great thinker, you would think of someone who is able to share ideas, who is able to communicate those ideas, and not only that, who is able to encourage you to do the same, particularly if you find any books that are focused on thinking or a greater well-being. A lot of times your minister or your spiritual leaders, they have great ideas and great perspectives as it pertains to thinking. And in truth, anyone who is innovative or creative, they have also different avenues. And although they're not your day-to-day thinking tools, you can utilize those for a specific purpose. The first thinking we really want to talk about on this evening is focused thinking. And focused thinking carries with a lot of different ideas, but in truth, this I wouldn't consider this meditation per se. However, I do think it's important for us to think about the singularity of focused thinking. Focused thinking takes us to a place where we're going to concentrate solely on one idea at a time or one idea over a long period of time. And focused thinking helps us to not only compartmentalize other things that can be distractions, but also focused thinking will help us manifest a greater degree of accountability when it comes to those thoughts and what you're going to focus on. It's interesting to note when you talk about focused thinking that you really, really, really have to remove distraction and mental clutter so that you can concentrate on an issue and think with clarity. Ask yourself this: when was the last time I took a thought and I actually concentrated on that thought and that thought pattern longer than 5 minutes? We're in a society where we are inundated and we're heavily influenced by passive thought and ideas and sounds and visualizations that take our mind and our mental focus away from thinking at all. It's amazing that we spend so much time in a period of ineptitude simply because what we use every day, the communication tools that we use, the communication filters that we've established, they don't always isolate the noise, the background noise surrounding our everyday environment. I did a sort of an encouraging word to my team this week or last week, talking specifically about the idea that you can't really multitask. Your brain is not designed to multitask. But what it will do is concentrate on that one idea that you have then, but it has to go through a process of change in order to concentrate on a total different idea. If, for example, you're studying for a test, for those of you who are students, and you're also listening to music, there's a part of your brain that cannot fully focus on the task of studying because it hears a recurring beat or there's words or lyrics to the sound that's going to take your focus off of studying and onto that music. And it becomes a distraction to you when you want your focus to be solely on your studies. And in truth, focus thinking harnesses energy towards whatever dedicated goal that you have. It brings energy and power to really almost anything, whether it's physical or it's mental. If you learn how to focus your thinking, you're able to eliminate a lot of the distractions that keeps you from achieving your goals. Take, for example, the excellent free throw shooters. You have free throw shooters that shoot 89, 90% from the free throw line. And because of muscle memory, there's nothing that they have to do to make their shot. They get up to the line, they look at the target, they release, and 90% of the time, it goes in. However, let's say the game is on the line, or let's say there's extra fatigue because they've had to play hard defense. When they get to the line, if they start thinking about the free throw, they're more likely to leak to miss it because your thought patterns will override what your body is trained to do. And that's the noise that we need to eliminate when it comes to focused thinking. We need to allow ourselves to give time for your ideas to develop to the point where we don't allow the distractions to eliminate those ideas. It's great to really focus and harness your energy toward a desired goal. And by doing that, harnessing and developing that desired goal, you really have to focus and allow time to develop those ideas. How often have we had a fleeting thought that's like, man, that sounds like a great idea, and we don't react on it at the time, or we don't finish that train of thought, and in truth, we may not think about that again for months or even years. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we don't really give our ideas time to develop. Focused thinking will really take your ideas and your thought patterns to the next level. It brings clarity to the target that you have. And if you think about the ideas and allow it to develop and give it time, what you would see is that the fog would be removed from those ideas. Typically, because we can't finish that thought process and we don't give it time to finish the thought process, we don't really have a clear picture. And we all know that if you don't have a clear picture, you don't have a clear goal. So focused thinking helps eliminate the fog by giving your ideas time to develop and allowing yourself to create an energy harnessing and big momentum toward those desired goals. And the ultimate goal when it comes to focused thinking is to take your ideas to the next level. It's important to do that. And you have to focus first on priorities. So focused thinking, if you have an idea, let's say you want to come up, if you are in the sales business, or if you're in manufacturing or you are a auto mechanic, there are different priorities that you have professionally. However, there may be some things that we all have in common spiritually or personally that we want to develop. You have to take into account what your priorities are at the time to help you focus your thoughts. If personally you are struggling financially, it's going to be hard for you to focus on that next big investment that you want to partake in because it's going to take away from things that you're already anxious or stressed about. So allowing yourself to deal with the priorities will really help you with your focus thinking. In other words, not only do you eliminate the distractions, you also eliminate those other priorities so that you can focus on the correct thing, train of thought. And there's many ways to determine priority. If you know yourself well and you're focused on your strengths, then and you know how to make the best of your God-given talents, some of those things come to focus very easily. Other things, your blind spot, the things that you are potentially weak at, the things that you try to avoid, the things that say that you can't do, those weaknesses are also a great priority for you because by strengthening them, it will help you with your focused thinking. So identifying your priorities, developing your gifts is also a good way to keep focused thinking as a top priority for you. So if you know what your priorities are and you know what your strengths are, then you can really hone in on a particular idea or a particular thought and know how to maintain a state of course when it comes to that. And ultimately that means you're going to develop those dreams. So that idea that you want to own your own auto dealership or the idea that you want to be your own boss and start your own business, a lot of those ideas right now are just cloudy and they're just thoughts. However, if you set your priorities, if you rely on your strengths, and if you allow yourself to dream, you can really focus your thoughts on how to accomplish that one particular goal. Now, starting off and focusing is one thing. How do you stay focused? And that's some of the things we've already mentioned before. And the top priority, the most important thing, is to remove distractions. So either you remove your distractions or you remove yourself from the distractions. Either one. You want to first isolate, right? So you want to isolate yourself from things that will hinder you from focusing on your thoughts. And then you want to insulate yourself. So isolate, you want to single out and separate yourself. And then you want to prepare or put up blocks to keep those things at bay. A lot of times people say that they go to their favorite thinking place, right, so they can work without interruptions. Think about, for example, if you decide to take a 20-minute shower instead of a 10-minute shower. There's 10 minutes more that you are alone with your thoughts that you can use to focus thinking. But in order to really, really do that, you have to really place value and attention on focus thinking. It allows you to naturally withdraw and make sure that you can allocate time to be with your thoughts. Secondly, you want to make time for focus thinking. So first you want to remove distractions. Then you want to make time, and we're establishing a place that you want to think and a time you want to be at that place. Fairly recently, I've decided that I needed to change the time that I have my focused thinking. I used to have it at night, right before I went down. So I will concentrate on those thoughts, and I will use that time, the last 30 or 45 minutes of the day, before I prepare to sleep, to focus on those thoughts and then allow my subconscious to carry those thoughts throughout the day. So now I've used that time instead to reflect on what I accomplished, what I need to accomplish potential roadblocks and hazards, and to also strategize about the next day in general. But now in the morning, the first thing I do, focus on one particular item that I want to accomplish that day, and that becomes a driving point or a driving priority for me, because I'm going to spend the time to focus on how I'm going to carry that out. So we want to set a place, we want to set a time, and we also want to set the idea before us. In other words, we want to have a clear picture of what it is we want to focus on. It's the secret of strength, in, whether it's in conversations, it's in management of people, being able to concentrate and have the focal point of your idea in front of you and visualize that is of the utmost importance. And also focus thinking, we have to go back and question our progress. If we're really focused and we're tuned in on this train of thought, if we decide to, if it's every Tuesday, we decide to dedicate that time, then on the next Tuesday, we don't always just have to go to a new thought. Sometimes we have to focus solely on the thought that we had before to see what kind of progress I'm actually making. Any questions or comments or concerns about focused thinking? We're really going to hone in into one singular idea. And from that, we're going to build greater rewards. To listen to Blog Talk Radio, this is part three of How Successful People Think. And this evening, we're looking at the microscope as our tool. And so now we're looking at a smaller set of ideas at a more granular level, trying to determine how to think successfully about those type of things. So from focused thinking, we're going to move to another type of thinking that we need a microscope on, and that's strategic thinking. There's a quote that I like to read, and it says that most people spend more time planning their summer vacation than planning their lives. Using strategic thinking allows you to plan your life. Just a question, when you think strategic thinking, what comes to mind? What comes to mind when you think strategic thinking? Do you think of, if you're in the business world, do you think of marketing plans and SWOT analysis? Do you think of a war room where people are planning their next tactics in battle or in war? Strategic thinking, do you think a chess match or a checkers match? What do you think when you think strategic thinking? Because whatever your reference is, that may be a driving factor on why you do or do not practice strategic thinking. One thing I've noticed, and I've talked about before, that it is a habit that we have created to plan our lives one day at a time, right? We wake up, we make our to-do list we want to do for that day, and then we sort of dive into action, right? Although there are some people that are not even that strategic. And then there are some people, some of us, who think strategically enough that we may plan a week or 2 weeks ahead of the time, and we'll put up our calendar, and we'll put on the calendar all of our appointments and all the meetings that we have to attend. But I want to challenge you to take that to a step further, and when you really think strategically, you're always thinking at least 60 days into the future. You're always thinking 60 days out, and it's important to do that, and by thinking 60 days out, you can always find potential obstacles and roadblocks far enough ahead of time that you can make adjustments to. It will help you sort of maximize your strength and maximize your energy in the long term. So you'll know 45 days out that you may take a break, vacation, or you may have a break. And so when those unexpected events arise, you can make adjustments further out than just a week or 2 weeks. Some people say that strategic thinking is probably no more than someone planning on steroids. You're just planning on steroids. The idea of strategic thinking is taking complex issues and long-term objectives and break them down into manageable time allotments that allows you to overcome those goals. Everything becomes simpler when you think strategically and when you plan ahead. So that long-range project that you have or the ideas that you have that, hey, you know what, I think I need to paint my house. That sounds like a daunting task because you have to find time, you have to buy the paint, you have to do all these things to paint your house. However, if you think strategically and you plan accordingly, you can take that idea and you can basically make it into manageable bite-sized chunks to accomplish that task in short order. It really helps you to simplify the difficult when you think strategically. Any questions or comments about strategic thinking? And you can see now that how strategic thinking is, it's different from focused thinking, because focused thinking, you're taking one idea and you're focusing on that one idea. Strategic thinking, now you are charting your course. It is almost like you are now the navigator, the law of navigation, right? Anyone can steer the ship, but it takes strategic thinking to chart the path, and that's what you're doing when you think strategically. You're charting your path of success. And until you start charting your path of success, your dreams and your goals are just that, dreams and goals. They can't become reality until you chart your path, until you start to think strategically. And so it takes some of those ideas that are very difficult or complex, and it simplifies it because you're creating a game plan. But then also, it prompts you, thinking strategically, to not only ask questions, but prompts you to ask the right questions. There are times when we ask questions, and the questions that we ask aren't truly beneficial to the goals or the results we want to achieve. However, thinking strategically helps us ask the right question. Just think about this. When you're thinking about direction, right, the right question is, what should we do next and why? Why should we go down this path? What should the path be and why should we go down that path? When you're looking to see if you're being successful, you want to ask, am I on target? This is my goal. Am I meeting all my metrics or meeting all my benchmarks to the point where I'm going to succeed? And if not, what adjustments do I make today or tomorrow to put me back on the right path? When you think about trying to determine or create a budget or looking at financial situations, and what you want to see is, how much can I really afford, right? So how much, what is the cost? And not what is the cost as far as the dollar sign, what is the cost, meaning, how much time is it going to take me to make the amount of money, or how much time is it going to take me to replace the amount of money that is going to be spent? And that's where, when we talk about cash and we talk about strategic thinking, that we're changing the idea of purchasing away from spending the money, right, to earning the money that you're going to spend. So if you have $50 and the object that you want costs $100, if it took you 5 hours to earn that $50, in order to buy that $100 product, if you don't have the money now and you're going to borrow money, if it's on credit, or you're going to get a loan just so you can get that object, it's going to take you more than 5 hours to pay it off. Thinking strategically along that line helps you prioritize, helps you see the goals, helps you see the end result based upon simple things as far as, if I'm going to buy a car, how much car do I really need? And is it worth the extra amount of time I will have to spend to earn the money to get the extra amount of car that I really don't need. And that's strategic thinking. In other areas of strategic thinking, when you talk about just overall evaluation of self-help, you want to ask yourself, so am I really living the quality of life that God would want me to live, right? And am I really demanding of myself as much as God would want me to demand? You always think about that when you talk about your personal health and well-being, whether it's trying to get in shape or stay in shape, or if you're trying to lose weight. Always ask yourself, thinking strategically, what am I losing by not being in shape or being healthy? Or what is it I will not be able to gain or have by not losing weight or staying in shape? Those are the kind of questions you have to ask yourself, because it changes your focus on the symptoms, the things that you do, and it focuses on the root cause, the reason why you do those things. And that's really how strategic thinking helps you sort of ask the right kind of questions. So first, it's going to take those big, complex goals and ideas that you have, thinking strategically about them will help you put them in manageable bits so that you can accomplish them one benchmark, one goal at a time. And also, it helps you ask the right questions when it comes to whatever choice you're trying to make or whatever goal you're trying to achieve in life. Strategic thinking is really a preparation for an uncertain tomorrow, right? So thinking strategically today will help you better prepare for tomorrow, which is not promised and it's uncertain. Also, if you think strategically, it sort of helps reduce the margin of error. If you know what is the expected outcome, and you know what it takes to achieve the expected outcome, then you understand the variance between reaching that goal or not in greater detail. And you know how to over or undercompensate to reach that desired goal. Strategic thinking helps you really understand and set your goals so that you can understand how close you are to the mark. So just take a few seconds, and this is my challenge to the audience, is to think about someone, whether it is someone you know personally or someone you know professionally or someone you've seen or been a part of, that truly has strategic thinking. And you know that they think strategically. And just by a show of hands, if someone would like to share, what is it that they do, or how is it that you think that they have strategic thinking? In what ways do they display those things? And any caller, if you would like to just dial in, and I will get you on. You can just give me those examples. You don't have to say the name. You can just give me an example of how you know they think strategically. So one example I'll give you, if any of you guys watch basketball, is Blatt, the coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Kyrie Irving was injured after game one. They haven't had Kevin Love for none of this series, the championship series. And so thinking strategically, he changed the focus of the team completely. Instead of relying on a high-potent offense, with three superstars that played off of each other, he slowed the game down and focused on defense totally. So he realized, instead of having subpar defensive players and okay offensive players, he went to his strongest defensive players, surrounded them and LeBron James, and now they become a defensive stopping team, since they know they can't score with Golden State. Now, this is only game three coming up, but you saw that adjustment happen in game two, and as a result, the Cavaliers won. Because Golden State couldn't score, and as long as Golden State can't score, LeBron James can always get you 45. So that's just an example of how changing the strategy changed the result. Because had they gone into game two with the same mindset of game one, they probably would have been blown out. And that's just one example of strategic thinking that's just happened recently in the sports world. But I'm quite sure there's quite others that you may be thinking about of people who think strategically. And by thinking strategically, you can see them make adjustments in their lives that help them accomplish their goals. Any questions or comments before we continue? Again, you're listening to Manage Masculinity, How Successful People Think, Part 3. And tonight we're using our microscope instead of the binoculars and the telescope. And one final way that successful people think, and we'll get into some other things in just a second, one final way that successful people think is that they really, really rely on bottom line thinking. They rely on bottom line thinking. How do you determine what your bottom line is? And typically when you hear the word bottom line, right, you think in business. But bottom line is literally the bottom line. It's where the profit determines whether you are succeeding or not. So that idea, that result, that is the bottom line, truly defines how successful you are. I mean, would you really measure the ultimate success of your family by how much money you had at the end of the month or the year? Right? Would you measure that? Or would you measure the success of your family based upon other driving issues? And if you decide other driving issues, that is your bottom line. And now you're measuring your success based upon that. If you have a business, or if you're a self-made person and you're in business for yourself, what is your bottom line? If your bottom line is a level of financial success, then that is your bottom line. And so your thinking, or bottom line thinking, is truly focused on that goal. If you run a nonprofit and you have a different focus as your organization, and your organizational outcome is based upon how many people you can serve or help, then your bottom line is quite different as well. Once you determine what your bottom line is, you are able to create a strategy to accomplish it. What is your business? Who is your customer? What does your spouse give value to? Those are questions that you ask yourself when you're trying to determine the bottom line. Bottom line thinking provides great clarity. Bottom line thinking helps you assess every situation. If you have the bottom line in mind, you will be able to assess every situation based upon your bottom line. If you know what your bottom line is and you go after it, you really increase your odds of winning. Because you have a goal. And nothing generates a higher morale than winning and continuing to want to win. It's very important for us to identify the real bottom line. For those of us who are spiritual, when you think about the bottom line, if the bottom line is your salvation, then that is the bottom line. And now you make decisions based upon your bottom line being your salvation. How does that change the decisions that you make? How does that change the people that you allow to influence you if you know what your bottom line is? And if you live and you think and you focus on the bottom line, it ensures your success. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone who it seems that their intentions were something quite different than what they stated initially? Right? And sometimes you may think that the deception is intentional, but it may be that that person really doesn't, they really don't understand their own bottom line. If you think of someone whose idea is to sell, 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 but yet when you hear the conversation, they're more self-promoting than selling, maybe they don't really understand their bottom line. It's important for us, if we're going to be successful and we're going to bring other people into success, that we're able to communicate our bottom line. If your goal is to have something as vague as success in your bottom line, you're going to have a difficult time trying to create thinking around that. It's important, and this is where focus and strategic thinking comes in. It's important for you to be as specific as possible when it comes to creating your bottom line. Typically, we've lost faith in companies, in organizations, in politicians who fail to align themselves to what they say is their bottom line. Think about that. You think about pharmaceutical companies and things for a moment. I think sometimes in our estimation, I think that they forget that medicine is for people who need it. And if medicine is for the people who need it, why would you not put it at a price where they can afford it? So now our trust for pharmaceutical companies and for doctors and stuff have changed because we think they're trying to make a profit, not trying to make us better. And so they've lost our trust. Same thing when it comes maybe to politics, in that politicians, initially, they were to represent ideas of the people in their districts or in their regions or in their state. It seems that the motif have changed to the point where politicians' bottom line is to be elected again. And by changing that, simply changing that, they don't always have the grassroots concerns of the constituents and for the people who voted them into office. And so there's been a lot of kickback for politicians who play politics and play policy but don't represent the people who put them in office to begin with. If making a profit for companies was the real bottom line and helping people merely provided the means for achieving it, then a company would suffer. In truth, its attention would be divided. You can't help people in every way possible and making a profit be your bottom line. It's important for us to truly define what the bottom line is going to be. Just simply want to ask you, are you staying true to your bottom line so that you can really gain the maximum return and reap the rewards for achieving your goals? If your bottom line is to be someone who is a mentor and a coach or a leader of other people, are you truly focusing on those things to the point where it's going to come to light? If your focus is to graduate college with a 4.0, get accepted to a graduate school or a university, and go on and be in a medical field, what decisions are you making now contradict the bottom line that you think you're trying to obtain? And that's what you measure everything on. If that is your bottom line, then that's your bottom line. In order to achieve those goals, you have to align yourself to the bottom line. Now, depending on areas of life, you can have very different bottom lines. However, if they contradict each other, then both are going to suffer. Scripture says you cannot serve two masters. Don't love the one and hate the other. If you're trying to make a profit at all costs, no matter what the cost is, you want to make a profit. But then also, you want to be a mentor and help others to grow and develop. Those are two contradictory bottom lines. And you're going to fail miserably in both of those. Any questions or comments before we continue? We spoke for the most part on these last 3 months on how successful people think. And I just want to use these last 15 minutes to talk about things that successful people do not think about. They do not focus on. These are things that they avoid thinking about. And sometimes it's we overlook these. And really, they question these type of thinking. Successful people question popular thinking. Successful people question popular thinking. And it's very important for us to question the acceptance of popular thinking, because sometimes popular thinking means not thinking. Because good thinking is hard work, and if it was easy, everybody would do it, right? But everyone, I mean, I say everyone, in just in a general term, we want to live life the easy way. We don't want to struggle. We don't want to go through difficult times. And if we can avoid that, which is the popular thought, then we don't do it. We don't do those things. The mere idea that there is a concept of popular thinking means that there are a lot of people who are riding a bandwagon of someone else who had an original thought. And so if you're blindly following a trend, you're blindly following the next new wave of ideas, you're not doing any thinking on your own. You're not analyzing the situation and thinking about it on your own. And the second part of that, and maybe sometimes the most important, is that popular thinking offers false hope. Many people look for safety and security in popular thinking. They think that if a lot of people are doing something, then it must be right and it must be a good idea. But we've seen countless times how mob mentality comes into play, and some of the most horrible and disgusting and evil things happen when you get a group of people together led by one or two people and no one else is thinking for themselves. Some of the most murderous and heinous things have happened in our society and in this world because people were not thinking for themselves. Sometimes it's just painfully obvious that popular thinking isn't good or right, but there are times where it's sort of subtle. It's sort of subtle to think about popular thinking isn't right. Another idea when you think about popular thinking is that if it's popular thinking and everyone is thinking that way, then it's the norm, and it's average. That means popular thinking brings mediocre results. You will not achieve high-standing goals with popular thinking. You will be mediocre and average at best. It's the least of the best, and really the best of the least, right? You limit your success if you adopt popular thinking. So how do you combat that? What do successful people do to combat popular thinking? They really, and it's three things, right? They think before they follow. So not just follow someone else blindly, they take the time to develop their own thoughts. And from that, they make their own decisions. So they think before they follow. And then another thing, as far as popular thinking, they learn to appreciate things different from themselves. They learn to appreciate people different from themselves. Popular thinking is the counter to that. Popular thinking wants you to accept the majority. It wants you to ignore the minority. It wants you to just get on board and do the status quo. But successful people see things differently, and they think differently about things, and they want to understand the intricacies of the minority and things of that nature. And another way to avoid falling into the trap of popular thinking is really question your own thinking. Question why you feel or think a certain way about certain things. When you watch the news, why do you react a certain way when certain topics are brought up? If you're in the mall or if you're in a public sector and someone walks by you that makes you feel uncomfortable, ask yourself, why do I feel that way? Why do I feel the way that I do? Why do I react the way that I reacted? And it's important for you to do this because you may have found out that you have been overcome just by the oversaturation of the information that you're receiving around you, and now you're just reacting and you're not thinking. And finally, as it pertains to avoiding popular thinking, in order to avoid popular thinking, you have to be used and just get used being and feeling uncomfortable. Because one thing about popular thinking, it's comfortable because it's easy. So if everyone thinks that way and everyone's doing it, I don't have to buck the trend. I don't have to stand out. I'll blend in and I'll be comfortable. Popular thinking is comfortable, right? It's like the old recliner that you like to sit on into. And as soon as you sit down there, it automatically folds up to all the parts of your body where you need to fold because you've been sitting there for so many times. If you embrace unpopular thinking and makes decisions based upon what's best for you and what's best for your bottom line and not accept what's commonly accepted, you may find out that you won't be as wrong as other people think you are. You won't be. You won't be as wrong as other people think that you are if you embrace unpopular thinking. Any other questions or comments before we continue? So we really want to be wary and very cognizant of popular thinking, something we want to avoid. And finally, and this is something I challenge you guys to do, so not even from now and going forward, I challenge you to enjoy the benefits of shared thinking. There's a quote that says, none of us is as smart as all of us. Good thinkers, especially those who are also good leaders, understand the power of sharing your thoughts. They know that when they value the thoughts and ideas of others and they are able to reciprocate those things, that they receive a compounding result from shared thinking. And it helps motivate and create momentum to continue to strengthen your thinking skills. It's important for you to find a partner to share and to bounce your thoughts off of. It's important for you to find a partner, someone who can understand your bottom line and agree with your bottom line and help you with blind spots and potential roadblocks that you may not be aware of. It's stronger and it puts you in a better situation and puts you in a better area when you're able to participate with someone who can help you with your ideas. But there's some things you have to overcome. And first of all, not everyone can help you be a better thinker. So you want to ensure that you find yourself in partners with someone who can help you with your thinking. And if you I will challenge you to ask yourself these two questions. And then this may help you gauge whether you can truly benefit from shared thinking with someone else. First question is, am I emotionally secure? If you lack confidence, or you worry about your position or your status, if you want to look like you have it together at all times, and or you want to look as if you're perfect, then you're going to struggle to share your thoughts with others. Again, we're not talking about surface thoughts. We're not talking about self-aware thinking. We're talking about the hard things. We're talking about the strategic thinking and the reflective thinking and the unselfish thinking and the creative thinking. We're talking about the challenging things that we want to concentrate on, that we want to share with others. And if someone you start down this path with, you don't believe is going to positively contribute to your thought process, you may want to remove them from dealing with you in your thought process. Second question is, can I really value that interactive process? And there are many of us, we like to keep to ourselves. We don't want to share our thoughts. We don't want to share our feelings. But what you will find is you have isolated yourself and you are alone with your thoughts. And when you are isolated and you are alone, it is very easy for you to get off track and miss your goals, because you're not verbalizing and vocalizing them and making them a reality. Shared thinking is only as good as the people doing the sharing. And if you're the only person sharing and the other person isn't sharing, then you're not going to be able to benefit from the interactive process at all. You have to open up yourself to the idea of sharing before you can really engage in the process of sharing. And for many of you, we've heard the talk about having an accountability group, have people that can hold you accountable to your goals and your achievements, to help you see when you're straying across the path. And shared thinking will help you do that. How much do you value people, though? Do you value people enough that you'll be willing to share and invest in them and allow them to share and invest in you? In order to truly benefit from shared thinking, we have to truly understand and value the people that are around us. So it's been a great 3 months discussing how successful people think. In some ways, I'm very excited that we finally got to the end, but I'm also saddened that I won't be able to share some of these ideas with you. But there'll be other ideas we'll share in the near future on this. I think over the next few months, we'll talk about connecting with people, and connecting with people is a little bit more than the handshake, how are you doing, truly understanding and valuing and creating a value system around people, because in truth, people are the most important thing. More important than anything we can earn or collect or engage in, people are the most important thing. So we've talked about cultivating our big picture thinking, and today we talked about our focused thinking. Previously, we've talked about how we can harness our creative thought processes. However, we can still be realistic in our thinking at the same time. We've talked about both reflective thinking, really taking what has happened to us in the past and understanding how we can apply it in the future to be better. And we've talked about the possibilities, the possibility thinking, and how to think unselfishly. That means investing in others in our thought process. Tonight we shared the idea of really, really understanding the bottom line, right, our ultimate goal, and being able to picture and identify that, because that's going to be the driver of our other thought processes and the strategies of strategic thinking that's around that. Any final questions or comments? Okay, so people have asked me about some of the ideas that I'm sharing and what I'm getting from. There's several books that I've been reading over the past year or so, and I can give you a couple of those. Two of those are from three of those from John C. Maxwell. One of them is Make Today Count, which is an excellent book. It talks about how you prioritize your day. And by prioritizing your day, you're prioritizing your life. There's another book that he has, Thinking for a Change. And again, it talks about how to change your thought processes, things of that nature. 21 Irrefutable Laws for Leadership is one of my personal favorites that I have of his. Any final questions or comments before we close? Again, I want to thank you all for your time and attention on this evening. I pray that you will take some of the things that we've discussed to heart and really try to apply them to your lives. If you ever want to go back and listen again to talk about these steps, you know you can come to blogtalkradio.com and you can go through the Managed Masculinity, because they're all recorded and you can hear these messages again. I want to thank you all for your time. May God bless you and have a good evening.
This episode of Managed Masculinity has been brought to you by the Solomon Society. If this episode has blessed you, why not bless your friends? Send them this online address, www.blogtalkradio.com/thegraceview, so that they can hear what you have just heard. And to ensure the continuation of this great ministry, please make a tax-deductible donation to the Solomon Society. You may text your donation to 404-620-2455, or donations may be made online at www.solomonsociety.xyz. Thanks for listening, and may the wisdom of God be forever in you.